Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Pardon me, Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1. Luke, chapter 11, verse 1. Titled my sermon this morning and this evening will be The Prayer Habits of Jesus Christ. The Prayer Habits of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Let's bow for prayer. We bless you and praise you, O Lord Jesus, that you do indeed abide with us. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us into truth and would give us understanding. We might know what it means to pray without ceasing. Lord God, teach us from the life of our Saviour. We do pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We do ask. Amen. The prayer habits of Jesus Christ. Beyond having a prayer time, our Lord Jesus had a prayer life. He lived, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. We need to learn how to pray as our Lord prayed. And as the disciples observed the Lord Jesus in prayer, and as the disciples were aware of the fact that John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray, one of the disciples had the courage to speak up and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. We're aware of the fact that John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. We've observed you praying, O Lord. Teach us how to pray. It is within this passage of Scripture that our Lord taught the disciples how to have a prayer time. He taught on the different elements of prayer from verses 2 down to verse number 4. But as we study the life of the Lord Jesus, his ministry will teach us how to have a prayer life. A life consumed with prayer. Pray without ceasing. I'd like for us to examine our Savior in his main prayer points. His main prayer moments. Recorded in the Gospels. And let's see how we can imitate his prayer life. And move beyond just having a prayer time. There is certainly a place for a prayer time. And I trust you and I have a prayer time. A time that is devoted to prayer. A time that is devoted to the reading of the Holy Scriptures. A consistent time of prayer and communion with Almighty God. But beyond that, as our yearly theme conveys very clearly, the Bible teaches us that beyond a prayer time, we are to have a prayer life. The Apostle Paul exhorted the church of the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing, because he was mindful that he was in need of prayer. And as we examine the life of Jesus Christ, we will find throughout his life some main points of prayer, some main moments of prayer. And it's within these main moments God reveals to us, God enables us to sketch out little by little the prayer habits of Jesus Christ. So as we study the Gospels, we'll be able to sketch out little by little his main prayer habits. To what end? That we might pray like the Lord Jesus. The disciple said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." So let's waste no time and let's note our Lord's prayers. His main prayers that he prayed. And let's see what we can learn concerning what it means to pray without ceasing and to be habitually in prayer. The prayer habits of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, let's go to Luke chapter 3, please. The Gospel of Luke chapter 3. Verse 21 and 22. The beauty of the Gospel of Luke is that Luke deals with the account of our Lord's life in greater detail than any other Gospel within the Scriptures. Luke gave attention to detail. And note here in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, the context is the baptism of Jesus Christ. Verse 21 it reads, "And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying." The heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, "Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased." This passage of Scripture gives us the account of the baptism of Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that during his baptism, here in the Gospel of Luke, we are told that our Lord Jesus was found in prayer. Dr. Luke notes the fact that the Lord Jesus was praying during his baptism. Baptism scripturally pictures that new life found in Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, if you have repented from sin and invited Christ to be Savior, then the first step of obedience is baptism by immersion. Our physical baptism pictures our spiritual baptism into Jesus Christ. The physical baptism pictures that new life in Christ. We died, were buried, and we arose in newness of life by faith in Jesus Christ. And may I mention this morning that if you are a child of God, then you have the presence of the Holy Spirit within you. And if you have the presence of the Holy Spirit, there ought to be a measure of change within your life. There ought to be at least a desire to change. The Bible teaches us concerning Saul of Tarsus, the Scriptures teach, as Ananias went out to seek this man, God said to Ananias, you will find him praying. You will find him praying. Prayer is the outflow of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our physical baptism is a picture of our spiritual baptism in Jesus Christ. That new life in Christ. And if you claim to have newness of life in Christ, there ought to be a desire to commune with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If there is no want to, then I doubt whether you've got the new life. It's as simple as that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We see the principle of new life here within this passage of Scripture. We see the principle of obedience. John the Baptist felt unworthy of the presence of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus said to John, please baptize me because I'm here to fulfill all righteousness. I'm here to provide a role model for believers to come. So within his baptism, we see obedience. Within his baptism, we see newness of life. But I also would like for you to note, and this is my main point from this passage of Scripture, as the Lord Jesus was praying, being baptized, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Ghost descended upon him. The Holy Spirit descended upon him. And I'd like for us to connect prayer and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And brethren, this morning, we are in need of God's power upon our lives. Prayer equals power. Power equals prayer. If you want power in your Christian life to live out the Christian life, then your life and my life needs to be consumed with prayer. There is a connection between power, the power of God upon our lives, and prayer. Power comes by keeping a close connection with the source and sender of supernatural power. Prayer is the channel to God's power from above. And this is illustrated throughout the Scriptures. There is a connection between prayer and power. And I'd like for us to note here that as the Lord Jesus was being baptized, the Bible teaches us he was praying, and as he was praying, the Spirit of God descended upon him. Brethren, this morning, this is the beginning of the ministry of the eternal Son of God upon the earth. And he understood that he needed the power of God upon his life. And he understood that he needed to spend time in prayer. And there is a connection here between prayer and power. It's of no surprise there in Luke chapter 4 verse 1 it reads, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Do you desire to be full of the Holy Ghost? Do you desire to be Spirit-filled? The key is prayer. That's the key. You cannot separate prayer and power. They are linked together. If you want the power of God upon your life to live in victory as a Christian, if you want the power of God to be evident in your ministry, if you want the power of God to be evident in your home, if we want the power of God to be evident in our nation, brethren, we need to understand there is a connection between prayer and power. And this is the first formal witness of our Lord praying, and there is a connection between that and the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Now that's no coincidence. Are you with me? That's no coincidence. So concerning the prayer habits of Jesus Christ, first and foremost, I'd like for us to note, first and foremost, that there is a connection between prayer and the power of God. Why is it that Simon Peter could stand and preach a message and 3,000 souls saved and baptized in one moment? The key was prayer. Key was prayer. That's not complicated, is it not? No. But I think so often we miss the obvious, do we not? We want the power of God upon our lives, and I pray for God's power time and time again. I want the manifestation of God's power, and God promises that power by the medium of prayer. A prayerless life is a powerless life. That's why some of us are struggling. Yes, you. You this morning, you're struggling because you've got an anemic prayer life. Say amen. You know it's true. Malnourished prayer life equals a lack of power. Let's move on to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. So the first main recording of our Lord praying, there was a connection between prayer and power. Please don't ever forget that. Secondly, this morning, let's go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Note then verse number 35 to 37. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there, prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. I'd like for us to note, secondly, this morning concerning the prayer habits of the Lord Jesus, that our Lord began the day in prayer. In other words, prayer was a priority to the Son of God. Even though people were calling for his assistance, the Lord Jesus maintained the priority of prayer. And he did what he had to do in order to maintain that priority. And he understood the people wanted his help. The needs were great. So he understood in order to have some time in prayer, he'd have to sacrifice some sleep. You'd have to arise before the breaking of day to pray. And as we study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will see a close connection not only between prayer and power, but also concerning prayer being a priority. Prayer was a priority for the Son of God. When the disciples found him in verse 37, they said to the Son of God, "All men seek for thee." In other words, what are you doing? Everybody is looking for you. And I'm amazed by the fact that our Lord doesn't fight back. He simply went on to say in verse number 38, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth." So we find that in the life of the Son of God, prayer was a priority. Back in verses 29 and 30, we find that the Lord Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law. We find in verses 32 to 34 that the Lord Jesus healed others and delivered others from demonic possession. No doubt the Lord Jesus was physically tired. But yet he maintained the priority of prayer. And in wanting to maintain that priority, the Bible teaches us that he arose very early before the breaking of day and he departed into a quiet place, a solitary place, and there began to pray. Priority of prayer. See, as we study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will find that prayer was a priority. He was prepared to sacrifice time and sleep to maintain that priority. Let me ask you this morning, is prayer a priority in your life? Is it really a priority in your life? Are you prepared to arise per se a little bit earlier to spend some time in prayer? Is it a priority? It ought to be a priority, ought it not? It should be the first appointment that you have each day. Spend time in the Word of God and spend time in prayer. The reason being is because the Lord Jesus said to these disciples in verse 38, "Listen, we need to move on to the next towns and preach." Prayer prepares us for effective witness. The priority of prayer prepares us for effective witness. Why is our soul winning so often ineffective? Because there's very little prayer. Now that's a good point to say amen. Because we tend to go out in the arm of the flesh, do we not? And we fail to understand that witnessing is a spiritual work and the gospel is dynamite, but it needs the anointing of God upon it. How can we place the anointing of God upon our preaching of the gospel? Through prayer. So by no coincidence, our Lord was not avoiding people. He wasn't being a hermit for the sake of being a hermit. I have no doubt that he did not say within his mind, "Well, I'm tired of people, I just need a break." No, he was purposeful. And as he quietly arose, and he marched off into a solitary place, he was mindful of the fact that I need to pray. It's my priority because I want power in my witness. And brethren, this morning, that's what we need, do we not? Power in our witness. And may I submit this morning from the life of Christ, and as we study his prayer life, we find there is a connection between prayer and effective witness. Oh, so often we go out and do the work of the Lord in the arm of the flesh, do we not? We quote verses like Psalm 108, verse number 13, through God we shall do valiantly. But we don't pray. And we don't do valiantly. But yet we quote the scripture. But we don't. We stumble. We fall. We're discouraged. We embarrass ourselves. We witness. We witness. Nobody ever gets saved. Could it be an absence of power? Because there is an absence of prayer. Brethren, our soul-winning ministry has not been the same since we began the morning with prayer. I'm telling you, it's taken a 180-degree turn for the better. And why be surprised? When you and I devote our hearts to prayer, we make prayer a priority. And brethren, this morning, if we are to imitate the Son of God, we must be mindful of the fact that prayer equals power, and prayer needs to be a priority because we need the power of God to be an effective witness for Him. Prayer was a priority in the life of the Son of God. Thirdly, this morning, let's turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. As the Lord Jesus continued His ministry and His fame was shed abroad, and as more people heard of what He could do for them, no doubt He got busier and busier. The demands were greater. But yet we find the Lord Jesus still maintaining the priority of prayer. Here in Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, please. And so much the more went there a fame abroad of Him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. Note verse 16. And He withdrew Himself into the wilderness or the desert and prayed. He withdrew Himself. So as the crowds gathered, the Bible teaches us the Lord Jesus stepped aside and took a walk into the desert place, and there He began to pray. We find within this passage of Scripture the Lord Jesus taking time to pray. And I'd like for us to note here that this is a special season of prayer. The demand upon His life was overwhelming, and the needs were great. The leper that had been healed did not obey the words of Christ. That leper that was healed was told by the Son of God, "Don't tell anybody what I've done for you." But unfortunately, out of excitement, he told everybody. So guess what? Everybody turns up. Now this doesn't frazzle the Son of God. It might frazzle you and I. He said, now, what I need to do, I need to go off and have some more prayer. Amen. Have a season of prayer. Amen. So the Lord Jesus goes into the desert and He has a special season in prayer with His Heavenly Father. And don't we from time to time have a need for a special season of prayer? Praying for God's wisdom. Praying for God's power, direction, protection. When we are overwhelmed with the demands that are placed upon us, brethren, we need to retreat also to the Rock of Ages, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus took time out and had a season of prayer. The context is the multitudes. And no doubt as he stood back and he observed the multitude, he said, I better do nothing before I pray. Amen. He wasn't afraid to get away for a special prayer. Amen. Beloved, this morning, this is wisdom personified before us. The word stress is a very common word in our day. It's a trendy word. Every second person is making reference to the fact, well, I feel stressed. Well, welcome to the real world. I feel stressed. And may I submit this morning that often we feel stressed because we feel overwhelmed or inadequate within our area. But let me tell you what will cure that stress. Prayer. Prayer. The world can't offer that remedy for stress. The best the world can do is offer you a stress ball. Or some medication. Or some new age philosophy. Let me tell you, the best remedy for stress for the child of God is prayer. You'll be less stressed when you learn to cast your cares upon Him because He careth for you. And if you're stressed out this morning, I can guarantee that your prayer life is anemic. Because prayer warriors understand what it means to pass it on. And as the Lord Jesus was overwhelmed with all of these people, that didn't frazzle Him. Didn't cry, oh, I feel stressed. I'm stressed. Brethren, as a child of God, if we would spend more time in prayer, I think we'd have less. I don't think we'll be crying out, stress, stress, stress. Amen. Why are you stressed this morning? Because you're carrying the load on your own.
Yes, that's right.
And that's why you're stressed.
That's right.
Say, yes, Pastor, you're right. You know it's true. Matthew chapter 11, Lord Jesus said, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, stressed. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That sounds like a relief of stress. And the Lord Jesus invites us to come unto Him. How do we do that? Prayer. Oh, Pastor, come on. It can't be that simple. Why not? Why not? Why complicate it? Why waste your money on a stress ball? What a stupid invention. Don't you think? A stress ball. That's ridiculous. Why bother with a stress ball when you and I can cast our cares upon Him? who careth for us. So we find the Lord Jesus had a special season of prayer. And brethren, this morning, if you are feeling overwhelmed within an area of your life, may I submit to you, maybe you need to devote some time and go to prayer. Just set some time out of your schedule and make this a season of prayer and ask God to remove that stress. So as we study the life of the Lord Jesus, oh yes, He had a prayer time, He had a prayer life. The Lord Jesus, prayer was a priority. The Lord Jesus understood that power comes by a prayer. The Lord Jesus had seasons of prayer. Extra supplementary prayer. That was a part of His life. Luke chapter 6, please. Let's look at one more this morning. The Gospel of Luke chapter 6. Verse 12 it reads, "And it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples. And of them He chose 12, whom also He named apostles." And then from verses 14 and 16, those 12 apostles are named. So following this full night of prayer, the Lord Jesus chose His disciples, His main 12, His apostles. Now this was no light duty when you consider these men would have the majority of our Lord's time. And as you study the Gospels, you'll find the majority of our Lord's time was spent with these 12 men. So it's by no coincidence that our Lord Jesus spent the whole night in prayer with God the Father, seeking the mind of God the Father, seeking the wisdom of God the Father, before He made a commitment to 12 men. These are the men that would carry the baton on concerning the work of God. Would you agree with me that this was a major decision that our Lord made in choosing the 12 apostles? Say yes or no. Yes, extremely major. When you consider He spent the majority of His ministry with these 12 men, and before He named the 12, out of the who knows how many disciples that were present, He devoted a night of prayer. And I can just imagine as the crowds were around Him. And the Bible teaches us there were disciples, but out of the group of disciples, followers, He chose 12. He said, "Peter, come here. Matthew, come here. Thomas, come here. Bartholomew, come here." But that main decision was bathed in prayer. Beloved, listen to me. This was a major decision that was made by the Son of God. And He deliberately spent the night in prayer beforehand, before He chose the 12. He prayed all night before He made this major decision. And as we study the life of Jesus Christ, as we study His prayer habits, we find there is a connection between prayer and power. We find that prayer is a priority in the life of the Son of God. We also find that the Lord Jesus set special seasons aside for prayer. But fourthly, this morning, we find that within the life of the Son of God, before he made a major decision, he devoted some time to prayer. Let me ask you this morning, what major decisions, stages, new challenges are before you in 2010? Our Lord understood the importance of prayer in choosing men to train for the full-time ministry. What about you and I? As we make major decisions, do we see the importance of prayer? I think so often we've become so flippant. We make decisions, but we devote very little prayer.
That's right.
And brethren, this morning, if you're about to make a major decision, I challenge you to devote some serious time to prayer.
Amen.
I'm not necessarily saying a whole night, but devote some serious prayer before you make that decision.
Amen.
The life of Christ teaches that principle. Prayer will help us to make the right decision at the right time. The prayer habits of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, this morning, how's your prayer life? Thus far, we've only noted four prayer habits from the Son of God. There's many more. You'll have to come back tonight for the rest of them. But let's just take a moment and just think about the four thus far. Prayer and power. Prayer, a priority. Prayer, special seasons for prayer. When you're feeling stressed. Prayer and decision making. Prayer habits of the Son of God. How's your prayer life? May God grant us the grace to imitate his prayer life. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed.